Luke 2:22-38. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. That Herod does to Joseph. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought him the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for me. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
In 6 days' time, it will be 2022. Really? Whether you've been eagerly awaiting or dreading its arrival, you need to know the Lord's blessing and strength in your life each day throughout the new year. Time is a funny thing. Half the population seems to have time to burn, while the other half is always short of time. Yet we all have exactly the same number of hours in each day. A number of years ago, I noticed on the wall of a paper supplying company something strange. It was called a rush job calendar. I have since seen it in a number of different versions. You can find it easily enough on the internet. But the basic principles are the same. The numbers go backwards instead of forwards in each week, since everyone wants their job done yesterday. Weekends are eliminated. They are unproductive. So are Mondays, when nobody works well. Instead, 3 Fridays are introduced to help with all those jobs that have to be finished by Friday. And a miracle day is introduced because the week's work could usually do with one. The other benefit of numbering each week backwards is that it gets rid of the usual end of month jam. Unfortunately, we know. Have you ever felt that you could do with a calendar like that? Unfortunately, we know that it can't actually be like that at all. It would be an unreal world. Such a calendar can only work in our imagination. In point of fact, we all have the same time available to us, 24 hours in every day. But we have varying amounts of physical and nervous energy, differing skills, differing ways of tackling our lives, the habits of a lifetime. Add to that the variety of commitments, job, home, family, community. These affect both the time we need and the time we seem to have at our disposal. The question, of course, isn't simply what time we have, but what our priorities are. These will determine how we use our time. All of us have periods when uninvited circumstances cut right across our plans and reshape what we have to do. A disaster, a sickness, a bereavement. Added to that, we live in the pressure of an instant world where everything has to happen on the run. We have instant food, instant garbage, instant relationships, instant divorce. There is a special kind of guilt that our rat race society lays on us all, a guilt that leads, among other things, to some of the amazing achievements of our time, and to record levels of unemployment, mental disturbance, and suicide. From the standpoint of our world, we find it hard to slow down, to stop for long enough to grasp what is really happening and to grasp what really happened in the birth of baby Jesus. We have had Christmas. It was good while it lasted, but a new year is coming and life must rush on. Christmas had come and gone, and old Simeon went up to the temple to pray. Well, actually, he hadn't heard about Christmas. Nobody knew about Christmas. The Jewish people had this belief. Often it was way back in their minds, yet deep down they did believe that God would send his chosen one, the Messiah, one day. But day after day, week after week, year after year, ground on. Even at their slower pace of living, life still had to go on. For centuries now, their nation had been suffering badly. Just now it was the Romans. They had to pay tax to them. They had to carry their soldiers' tax without question. When they went into the temple, they were conscious of the Roman fortress, built so that even there the Romans could keep an eye on them. Old Simeon went up to the temple to pray. He had to pay his taxes, like the rest of them. He couldn't plead his age if a Roman soldier asked him to carry his pack. He too must have been conscious of the Roman big brother looking in from the fortress. He is described as being righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was on him. Simeon was waiting in faith, waiting and really accepting and expecting that something would happen. It would happen because God had said it would happen, because it had been foretold, and God is true. old Simeon went up to the temple to pray. It had been such a long time, many centuries before his birth, but Simeon knew within himself that the time of fulfilled promises was at hand. In fact, he had received assurance by special revelation that he would see the promised Messiah. It was an ordinary kind of day in the temple, with people hurrying to and fro, priests and Pharisees, parents and children. Yet for Simeon, moved by the Spirit, it was the day. Not for the Romans, nor for the chief priests, nor for any of the others. Seeing baby Jesus, he took him in his arms and praised God. "Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." But then, a word for Mary. Do you remember the angel's words of assurance to Joseph when he discovered that Mary, his betrothed, was pregnant? "She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Old Simeon says to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. He will save his people from their sins." A sword will pierce your own soul too. How do you put all that together? Then Anna arrived, 84-year-old Anna. She's described as a very old prophetess, but that phrase doesn't imply that the Jewish authorities acknowledged her prophetic gift. They had long since concluded that the age of prophecy had passed. No more prophets, no more prophecies since Malachi. Anna spent all the time she could in the temple. This is how we understand the statement that she never left the temple. Day and night she worshipped God. There were quarters for the chief priest to live in the temple, but not for anyone else. Anna spent her time worshipping God, fasting and praying. Later we hear Jesus censuring the scribes and Pharisees for their hypocritical prayer and fasting, their abuse of what was meant to be an appropriate way of drawing near to God and preparing ourselves for his will. Evidently, there were others too in Jerusalem who were regularly giving themselves to prayer and fasting as they waited for the time of God's fulfillment to come. This quiet network of people all knew one another and encouraged one another as they continued in this unofficial and unrecognized work of prayer. So Anna arrives too and gives thanks to God. The time of fulfillment has come. This is the promised one. Quietly, as she meets the others, she tells them about the child. Simon was waiting for Israel to be saved. Anna spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free. That's how the Good News Bible puts it. Waiting. We're not very good at it. Don't know about you. We want things to happen at the double, preferably yesterday. God had promised, and centuries had passed. Some had lost all hope, but there were those who were still believing, still expecting, still waiting. Would we have had the patience? And now the season has come and gone. We've had the ho, 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 and now it's just ho, ho. That's that, but so what? We have to get on with life. But wait a minute. Don't we realize what has happened? We can't just go back to the old life and the old ways. Jesus, the Son of God, has been born into our human history, born to rescue us from our brokenness, born to set us free. We can't just shrug him off as if he hasn't come, as if all this isn't about the most important event of human history. In the day of wily old Herod and crafty Pharisees, what was happening had to be fairly private. Shown to the shepherds of Bethlehem, then to Simon and Anna and a few acquaintances, a little later to the Magi, the wise men. But his coming was for you and for me, and for the whole world. His coming was for dealing with the problem of sin, which certainly hasn't gone away. In fact, it has become so endemic in human life. His coming was for giving us purpose, meaning, and direction for our life in 2022. His coming was for giving us solid hope in a world whose bewildering change leads so many to despair. Don't go for a rush job calendar. It can only give you fake hope and a bit of a laugh. It is really worth waiting for and receiving God's best. That's Jesus, his Son, whom he sent into the life of this world because of his great love for sick and broken humanity. Don't rush on to tomorrow without receiving God's gift of eternal life, which he is offering you and the rest of the world too. For God so loved the world, that includes you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in him, puts their trust in him, tells him they are sorry and accepts his forgiveness, receives him into their life, depends on him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Christmas, the birth of baby Jesus, is all about, and what 2022 and the rest of our lives is meant to be about too. So Happy New Year to you. May you travel this year, 2022, together with the Lord. Amen.